in a lot of ways, they're not real active. Now, of course, when they're kittens, they're playful and stuff, but a lot of cats, they love sitting around. They find that windowsill where the sun comes in. They love just sitting around, relaxing. They're in some ways very standoffish. You know, everything's kind of on their terms. They might be loving, but when they want to be petted or loved or something like that. But a lot of times they're standoffish. They're not real social. Not real affectionate. Where dogs kind of are a little different, cats, they're not real affectionate. They usually have, or at least a lot of the, you know, I've had dogs and cats, they have a kind of a take you or leave you attitude. You know, they just kind of, you know, you call them and just, you know, if they want to come, they'll be there. But if they don't want to come to you, they're kind of standoffish. You know, they can take you or leave you. Kind of like, you know, Reed was saying, you know, you're their servant. You know, you're there for them, not the other way around. Can be very temperamental. Cats can be extremely temperamental. Can be destructive. I've known cats that just clawed up the furniture, clawed up the curtains, things like that, and they can be very destructive. They come and go as they wish. You know, a cat just kind of, you know, a dog, it's his yard. A dog, it's his house. A cat, they'll sleep here. They'll wander off. They'll come back. Come, you know, come and go as they want. And they can get downright mean if things don't go their way. They want it their way. And if you're wanting to love on them and pet them, they can get that fur up and kind of swat at you a little bit. Those are, in general terms, cats. Now, dogs, total other end of the spectrum. If you have dogs, and you can probably figure out where your dog fits into these categories. A lot of times they're active. They love playing. You'll throw that ball, they'll bring it back for hours. They're ready to play long after you're done playing. They love to see you when you get home. My sense of worth is so good because of my dogs. I can come in from the store. I can have just been there. I can have just been at home 5 minutes ago. Come back in. They're excited to see me again. I went up to the store. I went to get the mail. And they're glad I'm back. They're glad to see you. They're loving. They, you know, at least my dogs and a lot of the dogs I've had, they love to cuddle. They love, you know, giving you a little kiss on the cheek, things like that. Some dogs are smarter than people. They learn from their mistakes. They'll do something, give them a swat or raise that voice, and you get that tone again. They realize and they remember. They remember what they had done. And I wish some people remembered and learned from their mistakes like dogs do. They're appreciative. You take them out to the park. Take them for a walk. They love that. Little things. Little things. They're excited. You don't need some big toy. An old tennis ball. Thank you. An old sock. They love it. They're loyal. Dogs are extremely loyal. Like Rita mentioned that quote, you know, you have a dog, you've got a companion for life. They're very, very loyal. I saw a picture on Facebook the other day of a soldier that had a military dog. I guess their partner's probably military police. And he was laying down sleeping in the airport. The dog was over him, guarding him. So while he slept, dogs are active. I know I need to pattern myself more after the dogs. I need to be active. When you're active, it gives you a sense of investment in what you're being active in. It gives you a sense of ownership. When you're involved in something, you want to see it through. When you're involved, you want to see it succeed. If you're not involved, it's really easy to point fingers. It's really easy to be critical. And the more active we are as Christians, the better. And God wants us to be active. God does not want us to have that lazy attitude. In Galatians 6, starting in verse 9, Paul writes to the Christians in Galatia, says, "And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." I have found if we have the attitude that we want to be active, the opportunity is never lacking. I have found that if we want to be active in the Lord's church, there is no shortage of things that we can do. There is a series of training lessons for the men. The next one will be this coming Saturday, 9:00. We're going to be looking at the serving on the Lord's table for the Lord's Supper. Men, there are a lot of activities, services that you can perform for God, for the congregation, for your fellow brothers and sisters. Women, there is no shortage of the things you can do. As we have opportunity, let us do good. And not to grow weary. Maybe start out, oh yeah, gung-ho, and then it fades. Paul said, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. God wants us to be active as Christians. It's not a spectator sport. This is not something that you just come in, you punch your time card, you have your seat, you have the cracker and juice, and leave. That's not what Christianity is about. You need to be active. In Nehemiah, I love this story in the Old Testament of they were going to rebuild the walls, and it took a lot of people. It took a lot of effort, and they did it in a relatively short time. In Nehemiah 4:6, it says, "Why? For the people had a mind to work." Nehemiah could have wanted the wall rebuilt. If the people didn't chip in and help, it wasn't going to get done. And on the other hand, it took the leadership of Nehemiah to help with that. But the people had a mind to work. And that's important. That's important for the kingdom. That's important for any congregation, ours included, to have them a mind to work. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, Paul writes, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Isn't that important to know that the efforts you put in are productive and they won't be in vain? A lot of efforts, I think of some efforts in the world as exercising on a treadmill, a stationary bicycle. Put a lot of effort in, but you don't get anywhere. You're walking on that treadmill 20 minutes and you're still there. You've put a lot of effort into it. You haven't gotten anywhere in the worldly sense. Knowing that our labor is not in vain, that in due season, if we're steadfast, we will benefit from the labor we put in. God wants us to be active. Dogs love to see you. What is our attitude? Are we more of a cat or are we more of a dog? Are we that standoffish, take your leave you attitude? Or are we love to see each other? How do we view coming to worship? Gotta get up. Gotta go to church. Or do we see it as we get to go worship with our brothers and sisters, our God, our common God? In Hebrews 10:25, we always use this scripture, you know, talking about attendance, and it's used an awful lot, but not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That can go for day to day also. If all we see each other is one time a week, how much benefit would that be? How much benefit would it be to encourage each other? Well, I can worship at home. Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can. I can pray at home. Yeah, you can. I can take Lord's Supper at home. Yeah, you can. You can't encourage being at home all by yourself. You can't be encouraged. You can't share in Bible class with each other ideas, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. Which side of that do we want to be on? Do we want to be on the side that we forsake the assembly like some do, or that we don't? That we're always here contributing, being active, exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. All by yourself as an island, you can't exhort, you can't encourage, you can't teach, and you can't be encouraged or learn from others. Maybe you can sit and read your Bible by yourself. The question I have, those people that use that argument, I can do it at home, how many of them really do though? How do we view coming to worship? My dogs love to see me every time I come in. It goes to show you what a bad judge of character they are. But they're glad to see me. Dogs are loving. Dogs are very loving. John 13:35, Brian read our scripture reading this morning. And this is Jesus talking to his disciples. And he says, by this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. That is an identifying trait. Long before they hear that you're a Christian, long before you ever have an opportunity to sit down with a friend, a loved one, and open the Bible with them, they will be able to observe you and the way you are. Are you loving or are you not loving? If you ever do get a chance to open up the Bible with somebody and share scriptures with them and teach them, will it match up? Because if you're teaching them the, you know, scriptures out of the Bible and the plan of salvation, and you're not a loving person, that's going to fall on deaf ears. The love that you have for each other, Jesus says, that's going to be an identifying mark. That is going to open doors for many people by the way we conduct ourselves. Paul said in Romans 13:8, he says, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. You can wrap up the gospel in love. God's love for us. Jesus' love for us, Jesus' love to obey the Father, the fact that we obeyed the gospel out of love. 1 John chapter 4. The Apostle John writes, starting in verse 11, says, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God." He who does not love does not know God. For God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. That's the story of the gospel right there. Lesson over. That's the Bible right there. The good news that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. That's love. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. But you don't know what they did to me. You don't know what He said to me or the way He said it. Ask Jesus if He understands. Ask God in prayer if He understands how people mistreat others. I know I've never been mistreated the way that Jesus was. I think Jesus does understand. I think God understands that the people that He sent His Son for as a sacrifice, they killed Him. I think He understands. So when we say, well, why aren't you so-and-so friendly? You don't know what they've done to me. Well, I know I haven't been beaten and scourged and whipped and crucified yet. Galatians 5, starting verse 14, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." That's not the fulfillment of love. They learn from their dogs learn from their mistakes. Unfortunately, I know some dogs that have learned quicker from their mistakes than some people I know. Some of the examples, like Peter and Paul, they learned from their mistakes. Paul crucified and persecuted the church. Persecuted, sent people to prison, was responsible for the death of Christians. But he learned from his mistake. And he went on to be one of the greatest servants of the New Testament we have record of. Peter, an apostle, "Jesus, I will never deny you. I will follow you till death." Even he pulled out a sword when they came to arrest Jesus. He's ready to fight for Him, willing to fight and die for Him. But he wound up just a little bit later denying Him three times. Peter was driven the rest of his life to serve God, to fulfill that commitment that he had made to Jesus. Acts 17:30 says, "Truly these times of ignorance God overlooked." And I tell you, when we sin, that's ignorance. Not out of ignorance, it's ignorant to not serve God. How anybody can turn their back on God, I don't know. But these times of ignorance, God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Do we have the arrogant attitude the prideful attitude when we face sin of not repenting? Or do we have the attitude of Peter and Paul and of my precious Ed right there? All you had to do was use a tone with Ed, and he knew. Ed was smarter than a lot of people. He really was. Dogs are appreciative. Give them an old tennis ball, they're happy. Psalms 100, verses 4 and 5. Do we as Christians, do we fully understand? I know I have to focus on that sometimes and to be just remind myself what it was that God did for me. What it was that Jesus did for me. That's why when it was important about the communion, when Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me, he wants us to remember him and be appreciative of it. Psalms 100, verse 4 and 5, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. If we believe that, which I think we do, if we as Christians believe this, that his love and mercy lasts forever, we will be appreciative. When we realize that the sacrifice God made to give us an out, to save our souls from eternal damnation, we will be appreciative. And last, dogs are loyal. God wants us to be loyal. Philippians 4:1, Paul says, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. Stand fast in the Lord. Don't falter. Don't waver. Don't retreat. I'm assuming he was a military man. Looked either military or ex-military. He had a shirt on yesterday. I was at the store. It says, never retreat. I'm assuming he was probably a Marine. You know? Never retreat. It dawned on me. Isn't that our motto as a Christian? Shouldn't it be our motto as a Christian? Stand fast. Standing fast. And that's a military term. You stand fast. You hold your ground. Never retreat. Jude 3 says, contend earnestly for the faith. Not until it gets tough. Not while it's easy. Or I'll go for a little bit. Contend earnestly for the faith. Jesus said in Revelation 2:10, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. That's a direct promise. A direct promise. We need to be loyal to our God and to his Son who gave us so much. And it goes back to the question, are we cats or are we dogs? As we go into this new week, let's try to be more loving. Let's try to be more appreciative of God and of each other. Let's be eager to be back here and to see each other. I hate to tell you, in comparison to the world, we're all we got. We're all each other have got. We're facing this thing called life together as Christians. We're running that race. We're fighting that fight. As Christians, we need each other. If you need to respond to the invitation this morning, if you need to be baptized, if you need prayers of the congregation, if you need to repent of sin, if you need to learn from your mistakes, whatever your need, please come forward while Curtis leads us in the invitation song.